Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And it is a great day to be alive on Westwood One Sports. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. It's still March, according to the calendar, which means there's still madness, whether it's of the college basketball variety, maybe the NBA variety. We got some of that last night as well. And of course, the news cycle never stops in the NFL. So some things to talk about, some little bits of news coming out, some of them a little bit bigger than others, some of them requiring a few more mathematic gymnastics than others, but they put the writing on the wall in some places for some people yesterday. We'll get into all of it today, and we have got a stacked lineup joining us here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, of course, on Westwood One Sports and in the Westwood One Sports app as well, live across North America on SiriusXM Channel 375. And you want to watch the show? Sure you do. Why wouldn't you want to take part in the fun, in the chat, on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheKostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. Jump in there. We'll be interacting with you there. And on the phones at 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. Your thoughts on March Madness. Cinderella dead and gone. It's a Power 5 show now. Are you bothered by it? If so, how do you fix it? That's a massive question. We could certainly open up to those of you that have ideas. Speaking of massive questions, something was floated out there last week in regards to the NFL. And expanding, maybe not in the number of teams, but in the size of the schedule. And I think it leads to a very interesting conversation about just how much football is too much, or maybe there's no such thing. We'll get into that later. As mentioned, a stacked lineup, Fran Fraschilla, who will be calling the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games in the South Regional in Houston, Texas, will join us 1 hour from now. In the final hour of the show, Dan Bonner of CBS Sports, he'll talk tournament with us as well. If we got a redo on the brackets, how would we handle that? We'll get into it in about 20 minutes here on You Better You Bet. Again, Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA insider, will join us in the final hour also, right around 11:25 a.m. Eastern, because, well, the madness was not just limited to college basketball, and certainly last night was a heavy NBA schedule. So let's dive into the five biggest stories of the day right off the top. We call it the high five.
Five.
My first one would be that defense is 50% of the game. I believe I'm the most impactful player defensively in the league. Second argument would be we almost swept OKC in the season and we dominated them. My third argument would be that offense impact is not just points.
That's Wemby talking about his own MVP case. Now, he didn't bring it up unsolicited. He was asked about it in the postgame press conference after the Spurs dusted the Heat 136-111. And he went for 26, 15 boards, and 5 blocks. I believe that's the 10th game of the year where he's had at least 25 points and at least 5 blocks. I also believe that's more than the rest of the league combined this year, 25 and 5 in that manner. The man makes a compelling case. If you're looking for the best all-around player in the league, he's right there. He's right there. But he's just that far off. I love Victor Wembanyama, and I can't wait to see what the Spurs do in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. And as far as the top three in MVP odds, what Luka has done for the Lakers over the last few weeks can't be disputed either. Big moments, buzzer beaters, dropping massive numbers. And we'll get to the Lakers more specifically and their loss in Detroit in just a moment. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is still going to win MVP. You look at the percentages at Kalshi right now, he's 86%. 86% to win league MVP. Wemby is 7%. That's despite flattening just a little bit over the last couple of weeks after a little bump going into the All-Star break. The point is this. Wemby is great. Wemby is the reason the Spurs are where they are, despite a talented roster around him. Wemby is still going to finish second in MVP voting. Doesn't take anything away from what he's done. Doesn't make any of the points he just made, any of his arguments as to why he should be considered league MVP away. They can all be true, and it can also be true that SGA is just more valuable to OKC and is the single best all-around player in the league. Is he going to drop half a dozen blocks most nights? No. Is he defensively as good as Wemby? Probably not, but he's still very good. And he's also capable of dropping 40 with his eyes closed. So SGA will win MVP. But I like this, not attitude, that makes it sound sort of salty. I like this perspective from Wemby. He's put it on over the last month or two, a little bit more of this killer instinct, a little bit more of this, hey, don't forget about me and don't forget about San Antonio. And I can't wait to see what it produces in a few weeks when we get to the playoffs. Next.
Four.
Kuminga gives it over to Nikhil. He dunks it.
Yes.
And a foul on Memphis. Two great plays. Kuminga got it started. And then Nikhil gets helped up by everybody. And look at those smiles.
Thanks to FanDuel South for the audio. The Atlanta Hawks won last night and won big. Now, it's over Memphis. I get it. We're going to pump the brakes here just a little bit, but are the Hawks frisky? They're in the sixth seed now in the East. They've won 13 of their last 14 and 14 of 16 since the All-Star break. Now, I get it. Eight of those are against an assortment of the Wizards, Nets, Bucks, Mavs, two each, in fact, against those teams. And their only game against a potential playoff team in this 14-game run was a 22-point loss in Houston. If we go back to the break, they got a 30-point loss to Miami on the docket as well. But a 40-point victory is still a 40-point victory, even if it's over Memphis last night. And if you ask me right now, if Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who you heard with the finish there, Jalen Johnson, CJ McCollum, Jonathan Kuminga were capable of winning four games out of seven against the Knicks or the Celtics, I'd tell you probably not. But, you know what? If you would have asked me a month ago if the Atlanta Hawks had any real shot of crawling out of their annual spot in the play-in, I also would have looked at you sideways. But they're 21-11 since jettisoning the dead weight that was Trae Young. And that has seemingly turned everything around in Atlanta. Does it mean they can go deep in the Eastern Conference playoffs against the likes of, as I mentioned, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Pistons, the Cavs? Probably not, but they're frisky. They could be a frisky first-round team, and they're one to keep an eye on through the final 3 weeks of the regular season in Atlanta. Next.
Three.
Third down, and there it is. The first catch of the game for Travis Kelce, and it picks up a first down for Kansas City.
That was Travis Kelce recording a reception in his 119th straight game. It was week 18 in that meaningless game. He caught the ball from Chris Oladukun, not Patrick Mahomes, in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Chris Lewis and Kyle Long on the call on CBS there. The date for Travis Kelce is set. No, not that date. Although, if you keep up on Instagram and TikTok enough, TMZ, it sounds like June is it for Kelce and Taylor Swift to finally tie the knot. Apparently, they've sent save the dates out. Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm talking about Kelce's inevitable retirement from the NFL, though. With the announcement yesterday of a three-year, $54 million extension that had people going, what? Three more years for Kelce? How much money? Until they stopped and read the fine print, it's really just a one-year, $12 million deal that will get ripped up next June. With all of that, the writing is on the wall. Year 14 in Kansas City will be Kelce's last. Financially, the way this thing is written up, it makes it very difficult unless they literally light the thing on fire next June and Kelce changes his mind as a newlywed to the world's biggest pop star that he'd rather go out there and put his body on the line for a 15th season. It makes it very difficult to see Kelce playing beyond this year in Kansas City. So get out your red Sharpie, find the calendar, circle the dates. If you're a massive Travis Kelce fan, you want to catch him the last time he comes to town. You want to see the final few completions between he and Mahomes. It's going to be this season for Travis Kelce. He'll get his swan song. Maybe not in a year where the Chiefs are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I don't think anyway. But maybe one final ride into the playoffs with Andy Reid, a few cheeseburgers, Patrick Mahomes, and a reconstructed knee. Maybe Kelce helps spin some magic. But regardless of how 2026 goes down at Arrowhead, the writing is on the wall. This will be Kelce's last year. Next.
Two.
Luka against JD. Shots on the way, and it's short. And the Lakers' nine-game winning streak has ended here in downtown Motown.
No points for LeBron in the first half, yet the Lakers were right there at the end on the road in Detroit. Had the game in Luka's hands twice in the last 30 seconds. They didn't find the final shot magic that they've been able to spin more often than not over the last few weeks. Terrible inbounds pass by LeBron, too, by the way. Was he trying to get it to Luka? Was he avoiding inbounding to Luka? Anyway, it was messy. Go back and see the highlight and you'll find what I'm talking about. But the point remains, they're still the hottest team in the West that doesn't employ the aforementioned Gilgeous Alexander or Wembanyama. And if they stay hot over the final 3 weeks of the regular season, nobody, least of all the loser of that 4-5-6 race between Denver, Houston, and Minnesota, is going to be excited to see them in the first round. That's the Lakers. First loss in 10 games. As for the Pistons, this collapse that so many expected with last Thursday's news that Cade Cunningham would be out for an extended period of time, it hasn't materialized yet. It's only been a few games. I get it. Maybe it's still lurking out there on the horizon. But with a 5-game lead over the Celtics for the one seed in the East with just 11 to play, their positioning feels pretty solidified, pretty secure atop the Eastern Conference. And all of a sudden, Danis Jenkins has come out of nowhere. 30 last night, 22 over the weekend against Golden State. 8 assists in each game. Wasn't expecting that. And Jalen Duren is still doing everything, including D'ing up on Luka Doncic on the final possession last night. I don't know. You know how they do, I was going to say in the newspaper business, but newspapers don't really exist anymore. You know how they do where they always have an obituary ready for an older celebrity just in case something bad happens? Look, you can write it up if you want. I just wouldn't be so quick to be ready to file that Pistons obit quite yet. Could it still hit them in the second round? They've got to face the Cavs or maybe that frisky Hawks team at some point that I mentioned. Maybe it doesn't happen until they're facing the Celtics or the Knicks in the conference finals. And maybe by then Cunningham is back and the Pistons look like the team that dominated the league for the first 60, 65 games of the year. But the collapse doesn't feel like it's coming anytime soon. And I think you can take that obit and you can just tuck it away in the corner of your desktop somewhere with all those other files that litter your desktop. I'm one of those people. I just leave everything on the desktop. It's a mess. I can never find it. Leave it up in the corner there because you might not end up having to use it at all. That collapse may not be coming without Cade Cunningham. And if they get him back, say, second round, and they survive with Danis Jenkins doing what he did against the Lakers last night, yeah, Pistons may not die as many expected in the wake of the Cunningham news last week. Finally, next.
One.
Rebound to Swain. 6 seconds left. Ahead to Vokatinas. Vokatinas inside. Lays it in. 2 seconds to go. Inocenti inbound to Grant Foster. Tie on Grant Foster at the horn. It's over. The Texas Longhorns are going to the Sweet 16.
That's it for double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16. Yeah, Texas with all those big bags of cash. They're what qualifies for Cinderella this year, I guess. Ryan Radke on the call on Westwood One over the weekend as the Longhorns upset Gonzaga. There were, by my count, approximately 3,468 columns written in the last couple of days about the death of Cinderella. And look, I'm here to tell you, I agree, yes, it's somewhat disappointing that we don't have a St. Peter's or a Fairleigh Dickinson or an Oral Roberts for the second year in a row in the NCAA tournament. A team that you know nothing about, that fights its way through a couple of games on the opening weekend against higher seeds and finds itself in the Sweet 16. That may be a bit disheartening to see nothing but Power 5 teams in the Sweet 16. But we're also just a bucket or two away from High Point pulling off the inconceivable against Arkansas. And the ending to that game, Saturday night, capping off a night where Texas upset Gonzaga, Nebraska survived that half-court heave by Vandy, was what we're ultimately here for when it comes to March Madness. Even if the brand names in a lot of these cases are bigger and more recognizable. And look, people are going to point out the margin of victory on average in the first round was ridiculous, somewhere around 20 points, if not more than that. And you can do that if you want. You can average all the numbers together and you can ignore the buzzer beaters and point out the routes. But I'm going to be the shiny, happy person that focuses on the good that still existed on the first weekend of the NCAA tournament and what we may get going forward. Because, look, there are few events in sports, aside from the Super Bowl, that bring us all together watching these moments at the same time. I'll say for a fact that in a household where my wife has very little to no interest in sports, the one time of the year, even including the Super Bowl, where she is locked in on games like I am, like my son is March Madness. Because she's filled out a bracket. She's won a pool before, unexpectedly, despite knowing nothing about the teams. That's the beauty of this thing. Nobody knows anything going into the NCAA tournament. And we sat there as a family on Sunday watching Tennessee hold off Virginia, watching Iowa upset Florida, watching the St. John's buzzer beater over Kansas. And as a family, we took in the beauty that is March Madness in the NCAA tournament. The names, yes, are more recognizable. It's Iowa. It's Texas. I get it. It's St. John's. It's not St. Pete's or Oral Roberts or Fairleigh Dickinson. But the moments were just as good. Cinderella dead? Maybe. But the madness still exists. And that's the beauty of March. That's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. Unless, of course, your brackets are totally busted, as mine are, losing half of my Final Four already. And it's time for a do-over. Coming up next here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. Coming up next, if your brackets are busted like mine, like many others, and it's time for a do-over, we will handicap that Sweet 16 and tell you what changes we would make from where our brackets were just a week ago going into the first round of the NCAA tournament. A bracket redo. do-over next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Imagine a sports platform that talks with you, not at you. Your stories, your opinions, your one destination. This is Westwood One Sports.
At Navy Federal, we're a trusted partner of the military community, and we're here to guide you through these uncertain times, help you diversify your portfolio, and take control of your finances. We offer a 13-month special certificate with a rate more than double the national average, and members can access financial advisors from one of America's best financial advisory firms awarded by USA Today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/save more. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
Clones, listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. In fact, there are major differences in quality from one brand to the next. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Chock full of good protein to satisfy your manliest hunger cravings. Every bite is better for you and higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, and candy. Old Trapper, in the Clearview bag, is the world's finest jerky, made with only the best ingredients. So as for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Download to see if you qualify. Not all customers will qualify. Transfer fees may apply. No Albert subscription required. Albert is not a bank. Albert instant loans are issued by Finwise Bank, member FDIC. Not an actual client. Terms apply.
Kylie, what's wrong?
I just got hit with a car repair bill. I'm behind on rent, and I feel like I can never save any money.
Have you tried the Albert app? Albert is your financial assistant, helping you find ways to save and create custom budgets to actually grow your money. Plus, you can get up to $10,000 for big expenses, or advance up to $1,000 fast when you need cash right away.
Albert can get me up to $10,000?
Exactly. Albert spots you in a pinch and helps you grow your money in the long run.
I'm downloading Albert right now.
Download the Albert app and use promo code GO to borrow up to $10,000 for whatever you need. The Albert app helps you budget better and save more money so you reach your financial goals faster. Download the Albert app right now and use promo code GO to borrow up to $10,000. Use code GO
at PeaceCorps.gov.
Bring your green hat. Let's go. Come on, everybody. We're going.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
We're going streaking through the quad. We're going to do over our brackets. Do over. There was nothing like when you were a kid playing in the street, whether it was wiffle ball with your friends, street hockey, hoops, whatever. And there was a dispute about something that nobody could come to an agreement to. And you just said, you know what? Do over. We're going to try that with the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. Now that 52 teams have been eliminated. What do we, if we had a second shot at it, what would we do different from where we were on this bracket a week ago at this time? Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today here on You Better You Bet. On Westwood One Sports, you can always join in. Chime in. What would you redo on your bracket if you could get a do-over? 310-840-4910. 310-840-4910. And we'll go through and talk about this. We'll pull in Tyler. We'll pull in Kenny in just a moment. Progressive Insurance, they're always available for you. And you can right now get a quote from Progressive Commercial. This segment sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto from Progressive. Get that fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. What you just saw was not me having a mini stroke. It was me scrolling to the right part of the screen in order to tell you about our friends at Progressive. All right, Tyler, Kenny, I want to bring each of you into this because I have a feeling you're both probably doing much better than I am. I've already lost half of my final four, Florida and Gonzaga. So I could go a million different directions on a bracket redo. I'd probably start by taking Illinois, and I'd probably stand by my selection of Arkansas upsetting Arizona, which we'll get a shot at on Thursday night. But as for regions where I'm not totally dead, I think the one redo would be to jump on Tyler's St. John's bandwagon that he started last week and take them to beat Duke and then get through Michigan State or UConn in the East. So in my bracket redo, rather than three ones and a three, I might have a one Michigan, a three, a four, and maybe even a five in St. John's. So all that talk about Cinderella may be accurate, but we may still have some madness left here on the second weekend. Tyler, if you had a bracket redo, I know you were already on St. John's. Where else would you look and say, nah, I screwed that up, I got to fix it?
I mean, we could be saying this every year with this team. Like, I mean, I think I would do it again, to be honest. Gonzaga, like, that lost it. I had them going far. I had them going to the Elite Eight. And it seems like the same thing with Mark Few and his team every year. Just like they have high hopes and they never reach it. But this was like a different version of the Gonzaga team that we've seen in the past. They were all defense. Not the offense wasn't great. So I thought, oh, maybe this is a different version of Gonzaga. Maybe that since they flipped it around, this would be the one that works. And they lost to an awful Texas team. Like, no matter what you say about Texas, like, they're not good. Gonzaga was 6.5-point favorites. Texas lost five of their last six heading into the tournament. So, and they just played a first four game before that. So having Gonzaga go far, that was probably my one biggest slip up. And also, just like in terms of bracket pools, like maybe I'm just going to stop picking like upsets in the first round because you're only getting like 10 points in some of these pools. And then they just end up losing in the next round anyway, most likely in the round of 32. So yeah. I think next year, just like honestly, just trying to take the free points and just picking all the favorites in every game and just stop predicting upsets in my bracket pool. But Gonzaga was by far the one I wish I redid.
Yeah, I yacked all over myself with the Zags as well. We're probably not the only ones guilty of that. I do think you have a point. Like, as and again, this conversation has already been beaten to a bloody pulp over the last couple of days. I think there is a point to be made about when we look at our brackets a year from now, how quick are we going to be to take those mid-majors to get an upset in the first round, even if we don't take them through to the Sweet 16. When you look at the results of this year's first round and so few of those small conference and mid-major teams actually pulling off the upsets and now nothing but Power 5 in the Sweet 16. That definitely needs to be something we tuck away in the back of our memory banks and save for next year. Kenny, what about you? I know you were how far did you take Iowa in your bracket? You didn't have them beating Florida, right?
Yes, I did. I was one of those people I just felt.
Oh my God, I hate you.
Our guy Zach Kroll did as well. He kind of helped talk me into it. So that's what I was happy about. But one thing that I wish I didn't underestimate Nebraska. Because obviously I picked Vanderbilt to go to the Final Four. Florida losing early was in part of that. I thought Vanderbilt, as long as they can get past that first weekend, and then if Florida gets knocked out, their path is great. But I underestimated the power of Nebraska coming off that first tournament win. I actually thought that it would be that they would come down after that first tournament win. They just took that momentum and continued to play well. And Tyler Tanner almost made that last shot, but he didn't. And Nebraska's moving on. So I wish I wouldn't have underestimated Nebraska. That South region is really messy, though. And up East, I don't know what to do yet. I keep changing my mind. I said yesterday I think St. John's is going to beat Duke. I still don't know. I'm definitely going to take St. John's plus the points on Friday night, but I still don't know who's going to win that region. It could be anybody at this point.
Yeah, the East feels like a total toss-up. The South that you mentioned is messy. Three Big Ten teams in the four in the South. I would say if there were another do-over I could get in this bracket, I honestly don't know what to think of the Illinois-Houston game. I'm interested to ask both Dan Bonner and Fran Fraschilla if they have thoughts on that one, because Fran's going to be on the call, obviously, of that game. But I don't know what... Houston, I had so many doubts about coming into the tournament. It's why I had them pegged as an early exit too, big dummy that I am. But Tyler, Houston looked so dominant in their two wins on the first weekend. I don't want to say it's like the regular season didn't exist, but it's like the last 6 weeks of the regular season didn't exist. And maybe we just underestimated the impact of having to play so many big boys in the Big 12 down the stretch.
Yeah, I said this on yesterday's show. I kind of feel like that was more of an indicator on Texas A&M because they really didn't play anybody big. They had one big guy, and Houston just, like, destroyed. I've never seen a team dominate the offensive boards like Houston did against Texas A&M. So I feel like that was more of a Texas A&M. But, I mean, Houston's awesome. I actually like Illinois in this game a ton. I have them in my Final Four, and I picked them in my Final Four just for this matchup specifically. And the one reason why is I don't think Houston's going to bully Illinois, like, in the paint like they've done to all these teams. Illinois is also a spectacular offensive rebound team. I think they're top five in the country. So is Houston. So it's gonna be, they're going to be battling, and Illinois is like the way better offense. So to me, in the paint, it's like, as crazy as it sounds against Houston, it's kind of identical to me between Illinois and Houston. I'll take the better three-point shooting team by far, probably the best offense in the country than Illinois. So I think they're going to win. I'm not even betting the 2.5. I'm just taking straight up on the money line because I think they're going to beat Houston in a fantasy elite and go to the Final Four.
A Big Ten Elite Eight, Kenny. I know that warms the cockles of Kenneth Henderson's heart. A Big Ten Elite Eight in the South region, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I wish my Badgers were still in it, but I'll take the Illini. I had the Illini going to the Elite Eight coming into the tournament. Now they're my pick to go to the Final Four. I'm with Tyler. I just don't think Houston's going to be able to keep up in this basketball game. Like, Houston's had so many years over the years of the tournament where they can just not keep up in a certain game. They finally met their match of it. Like, Texas A&M could not score enough to beat Houston. Illinois can score enough to beat Houston, and I think they will. I like Illinois just like Tyler a lot in this game.
Again, Fran Fraschilla is going to be on the call of those South Region games this weekend alongside Spiro Dettis right here on Westwood One. So we'll talk to him, get his insight at the top of the hour in about 26 minutes. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos here on You Better You Bet today on Westwood One Sports as we're streaking through the quad, doing a bracket do-over. Am I crazy for looking at Arizona-Arkansas still, guys? It is the second biggest spread in the 8 Sweet 16 games. It's 7.5, and it's almost 3-1 to take Arkansas to upset Arizona outright. I'm not going that far. I know Arizona's deep. You know, you don't need to show me what they did to LIU and Utah State. I know Arizona is good, but there's a certain, we'll talk about soft spots I have. I have a giant soft spot for John Calipari. We can get into that in about an hour. But I also just think the ability of Darius Acuff Jr. to take over a game in the biggest moments leaves me wondering how Arizona pulls away in this one and covers 7.5. So I am definitely, Tyler, on Arkansas plus the 7.5, even if I'm not willing to go all the way to the money line.
I mean, I see this game being close. I mean, that's what Arizona does at this point in the tournament every year with Tommy Lloyd. Like, they just keep games close. I mean, that Utah State game got a little bit dicey there with like 5 minutes left, but they ended up pulling away. To me, with Arkansas, it's just like, can they guard anybody on Arizona? And we saw Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas got absolutely torched by Rob Martin of High Point, and they just gave up a ton of three-pointers. I guess that's my worry. I've been saying all year, like, Arizona's played basically like a EuroLeague team. They got five professionals on the court, and they're all very good. They all play sound defense, and they play fundamental. Like, I think that game could be close, but I mean, I don't know how Arizona stops these guys. I guess that's my only concern.
Kenny, I'm letting my heart get ahead of my head here, continuing to pick Arkansas, but I just don't see this being a runaway for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I think the spread is probably a little too big, but I think part of the reason why is because Arkansas is going to have a size issue here. Trevin Brazil and Billy Richmond are really going to need to show up and crash the glass in this game. If they don't, Arizona's going to dominate the inside, and they could run away with it. Now, I'm kind of with Tyler. I think that Arizona's probably going to cover. But late in the game, if it's close, Jaden Bradley, best closer in the country, he's going to close it out for Zona. I would be shocked if Zona loses this game.
Yeah. Again, we'll talk about the soft spots we have for certain teams and programs that are still left in the Sweet 16 a little bit later. Maybe I'm letting, like I said, my heart get ahead of my brain in choosing Arkansas to maybe still upset Arizona. The one that I look at and say, man, that's great. We've got high seeds. We've got 1-4 and we've got 2-6 in the Midwest. Still feels, Tyler, like we are just barreling towards a Michigan-Iowa State meeting in the Elite Eight, even if Joshua Jefferson is less than 100%, assuming he's even on the floor for Iowa State.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like Michigan's, to be honest, it feels like just a Michigan collision course to the Final Four. I don't really know who's stopping these guys. I feel like we got fatigue watching these guys play towards the end of the year. Remember, like, they won 6 or 7 games by 40 points. They've been, like, blowing out teams all season. I feel like maybe they got bored, and they were just like, all right, we're the number one seed. Like, we don't really have to care as much towards the end of the regular season. But I think they'll blitz Iowa State, whoever they play. I guess the real issue question is, will they beat Arizona, which I'm unsure about. I think it's just like Michigan State all the way, even untouched to the Final Four.
We getting ahead of ourselves there, Kenny, talking Arizona, Michigan in the Final Four. Is that the collision course that we should be talking about?
Yes, but I do think Michigan-Iowa State, if we get that in the Elite Eight, will be a great game. I don't think Iowa State, with their one chance to go to the Final Four in program history, is just going to let Michigan blow them out. I think it'll be back and forth down to the very end. I like Michigan a little bit more. I do think we get Arizona-Michigan, which would be an unreal Final Four matchup on the right side of the bracket. But with that being said, I don't think Michigan's going to cakewalk there. I do think even the Alabama game, that's a massive spread, but we know how Alabama can score. What if Alabama just can't miss? Might be a great game. So we'll see. But I think Michigan, their path so far has been easy, and people keep thinking it's easy. So we'll see.
I think the biggest takeaway is going into next year's tournament, when you're filling out your bracket, don't be so quick to take so many mid-majors and small conference teams. That'll be the biggest takeaway going into next year's filling out of the brackets. And if you get a bracket redo in the Sweet 16, those are some of the angles we like. We'll talk to Fran Fraschilla. He'll be on the Westwood One Call, the South Regional, this weekend at the top of the hour. Dan Bonner later in the show as well. But the madness hasn't been limited to just the college variety of basketball. Coming up next, someone's getting frisky in the Eastern Conference. Another team surviving the absence of their star so far, while out west, a red hot team finally lost. And someone explicitly laid out their own MVP case last night. Everything you need to know from what happened in a massive Monday in the NBA last night. That's next here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Westwood One!
We love sports. We love to laugh. We love hearing from you. Talking sports with you, not at you. This is Westwood One Sports.
With love I will build a wonderful thing that makes this life better for you and for me.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. To find out more, go to loveshriners.org.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. PureTalk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. PureTalk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. PureTalk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with PureTalk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial #250. Say micro and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
Empower.
After wanting one for years, Kevin is finally enjoying his new hot tub.
This is the life.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so now he can be a little bad.
Oh, no, not my phone.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin's phone may be in hot water, but his finances aren't. Invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
There is so much going on. You can bet on a lot of it inside your BetMGM account. Download the app today and log in to receive your Any Sport Parlay token. To use that Parlay Boost token, add a parlay wager made up of any sport wagers to your bet slip. Activate the token. If you win your wager that was made with that Parlay Boost token, you'll receive extra winnings all inside your BetMGM app. Download it today and make it legendary. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos on You Better You Bet here on Westwood One Sports. Don't forget to jump in the chat on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/@TheKostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, or on the phones, 310-840-4910, 310-840-4910. Back into March Madness at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes. Frank Fraschilla, who will be on the Westwood One call alongside Spiro Dettis in Houston on South Regional, Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, Houston this weekend. Get his insight into the NCAA tournament. I mentioned some NFL stuff that's kind of flying under the radar. We'll get to that in about 35 or 40 minutes or so. But more breaking, it's not official yet, but more breaking NFL news. Tampa Bay Buccaneers have scheduled a press conference for 2 p.m. today involving linebacker Lavonte David. No specifics, but all signs point to him announcing his retirement after 14 seasons in Tampa. That's from Greg Allman of Fox Sports, updating us that Lavonte David, it looks like, may be announcing his retirement from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers later this afternoon. I talked about an inevitable Travis Kelce retirement a year from now near the top of the show with him signing that extension in Kansas City. But Lavonte David, another big name core piece, presumably leaving Tampa after the collapse of the 2025 season in the wake of Mike Evans leaving in free agency. Here's my hot take for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You guys ready? Here's a hot take. Spicy. I don't think it's all that crazy, though. Todd Bowles is in his final year as Tampa Bay Bucs head coach. Their head coach a year from now. You ready? Up off the couch, Mike Tomlin. File that away. Put that in your back pocket. March 24th, 2026, Chris Mack, filling in for Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet, predicted that Mike Tomlin would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach in 2027. Tuck that away. And maybe it's a freezing cold take you can call me on a year from now. But I'm putting it out into the universe. I think it's a possibility. So it was a pretty wild Monday night in the NBA. And perfect coming off the weekend of college basketball that we had to have so many big names and or big games being played in the NBA. It was a fun Monday night. The Spurs did what the Spurs have been doing and dominated their opponent on the road in Miami, 136-111. They win by 25. And Victor Wembanyama, I love the fact that we're getting this out of him lately. It's not fiery. It's not angry. It's not even passive aggressive. It's just this swell of confidence. And I guess if I were Victor Wembanyama, especially with the team that he has around him in San Antonio, I would be very confident as well. But he drops 26 points, 15 boards, 5 blocks to go with all of it last night against the Heat, and then gets asked in the post-game press conference to make his case for himself as MVP and doesn't walk away from it, doesn't, you know, sort of demurely decline to answer that question, say, oh, I'll leave it up to the voters. That's not for me to decide. No, Wemby says, I'll tell you why I'm MVP. Hit it, Ken.
My first one would be that defense is 50% of the game. I believe I'm the most impactful player defensively in the league. Second argument would be we almost swept OKC in the season and we dominated them. My third argument would be that offense impact is not just points.
There you go. Like Sam Watterson standing up at the end of Law and Order to just bury a defendant. Just laying out the case point by point. Oh, my God. I just realized how old I made myself sound, too, by referencing Law and Order. Do you realize that I just aged myself by an extra 15 to 20 years by referencing Law and Order? Anyway, Wemby laid it out pretty clear. He said, yeah, 1, 2, 3, I should be MVP. And he didn't say, you know, he didn't knock anybody else. But he said, yeah, here's why I should be MVP. I hope that works for you. Now, it's not going to happen. SGA is going to win MVP. And I think SGA rightfully should be MVP. Wemby's a close second, though. And it's not so much about MVP voting. It isn't. for me, it's just more about this attitude. And again, attitude makes it sound like it's a sassy 16-year-old telling her parents how she needs to have the car this Saturday night. It's not that. It's confidence. That confidence is scary. Because we look at inexperienced teams in the NBA and we say, well, they need to lose one year before they can win. Heck, we've seen it put into practice with the Thunder, right? I don't think that that part of the equation, that calculus, even exists in Wemby's brain. Yeah, no. Why do we need to lose first? No. We're good. Did I mention we beat OKC three times this year? The actual OKC? I mean, he's here to tell you why he thinks they are capable of winning it all and why he thinks he is the best player in the league. Not an aggressive way. No, just he's stating the facts. Can't wait to see what Wemby does once the playoffs get here. Now, the question is going to be what happens if the Lakers, as the presumptive three seed, roll into the playoffs? I know they lost last night in Detroit. But if the Lakers roll into the playoffs as the presumptive three seed against those second-seeded Spurs in the second round, they both get through the first round. They meet in the second round. Experienced Lakers, Luka magic, LeBron knowing his role. If you smell la-la-la-la-la-la, what Austin Reeves is cooking against this relatively inexperienced San Antonio Spurs team. That's a hell of a matchup in the second round. I think the Spurs win in six, but I think it's a hell of a matchup. And then we really see if that confidence that's swelling inside Wembanyama can be proven against a Lakers team that has been red hot for the last few weeks. Can they keep that roll up into the playoffs and through the first round? Still a valid question. But that may be the best second round matchup, pardon me, anywhere in the NBA playoffs. As for the East, it may be realistic to believe that the Pistons are not dying without Cade Cunningham. They beat the Lakers last night, and it's not just Jalen Duren standing up and doing everything. Again, he was on Luka on that final possession. Terrible inbounds by LeBron, but Luka still got the shot off. Wasn't a great shot because Duren was right in his face. And Danis Jenkins has come out of nowhere. I don't know if he keeps that up. If Danis Jenkins is a name we're talking about once the playoffs start. But if he keeps dropping 22, 30, night after night, all of a sudden the Pistons can survive a first-round series and maybe get Cunningham back for the second round. That's not something I don't think a lot of people expected. Thursday morning when that news came out about Cade Cunningham, we all just left the Pistons by the side of the road for dead. May have been a little too early on that. And I think there's an agent of chaos in the Eastern Conference in the Atlanta Hawks. I don't think they can go on a run. They won 13 out of 14. Granted, against mostly terrible teams. But they're frisky. We'll talk to Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA insider at 11:25 a.m. Eastern, about his thoughts on a wild Monday night in the NBA. Coming up next, back into the tournament. Fran Fraschilla will be on the Westwood One call of the South Regional alongside Spiro Dettis in Houston this weekend. He joins us next here on Westwood One Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
My perfect day has sand, salt, water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Sky Rizzi. Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Sky Rizzi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Sky Rizzi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKY.com
for restrictions and details.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always live.